podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
Good morning. As Bob said, I've been a regular attender here for about 15 years now, and I've been involved in some capacity with the youth since I was a youth. But today I'm very honored that you allow me to come up here and share a little bit of the message with you. To kick things off, there was a little girl who told her mother that her pregnant aunt for sure was going to have a baby on Monday. When asked, the daughter simply replied, "Well, it's Labor Day." No, but as Labor Day is tomorrow, I thought I would preach on work and a little bit of rest. Labor Day, for most people, is the last real day of summer. It marks the last free day as school kicks into full swing and vacations end with fall fast approaching and the holiday season just around that corner. What most people forget, though, is the origin of Labor Day. Labor Day originally was a day started by union members marching for better solidarity, better working conditions, and more work, better hours. So I'm going to read from Matthew 20, 1 through 16. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who is hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Though we are not part of a union as Christians, we are all called to work for the kingdom. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you, always giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." In James 1:22, it simply states, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." As Christians, we are called to not just believe or just claim that we have faith. We must act. If I call myself a runner, but I never run, I don't run, I spend most nights on my couch, would I still call myself a runner? For the same reason, our faith demands action. While reading and preparing and thinking of how I would say what I wanted to say, I found myself finding two things that we as Christians are called to do as work. And I found them as either inward or outward. The things I tended to think of as inward are the actions that one does for their own faith. These actions change the inward direction of our faith. These are the things that are easy to say and seem simple, but are harder to execute in person. These are the things like pray continually. How often do you study on your own? When was the last time you sat and fellowshipped outside of this building? It is often easy to look at evangelism as the harder of the two, but it all starts and ends with you and your personal faith. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of glory, and our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do good works. We are called to be upright, pure, and eager to do good works." Jumping off of our faith should come good works inherently, which is that outward look, that outward work that most people think of when we talk about work for the church. The greatest task as Christians have been given is also the last task given to the disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" We must share our faith. I am not saying that everyone need to be called to do mission work on the other side of the globe, or that everyone is called to preach or teach. But it does call the sharing of our faith to all nations. I'm sure you've heard this many times, but it's one of my personal favorites, and it is James 2, 14 through 18. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, who if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.'" To the same point, Jesus talked of separating the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25:40. He said, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever one you have done for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" This church does an outstanding job of working and providing in our community, be it from recent train derailment to well before that with caring hands and the thousand other little silent things done for those that we have needed in our community and abroad. But I would like to challenge and say that the hardest thing most people find is not starting something good. It is the persisting in it. As humans, we are hopeful and eager beings, so much so that if you take into consideration 12% of all gym memberships start in January for those New Year's resolutions, and of all gym memberships, period, 50 are terminated within the first 6 months. It is easy to start something good. It is hard to continue. As a church, we need to stay persistent and be not complacent with what good work we have done and be more focused on what good work we are doing. Now, I said I would talk about rest. Just talking about work so much has gotten me quite tired. Most of us look forward to days off as opportunities to get that honey-do list done, or just relax and catch up with one of our shows or a book we've been putting off. We fill it with vacation itineraries and trying to find that one spot and make a reservation that we've been meaning to go to. In the same way, we need to be just as enthusiastic about our rest in faith as our rest from our jobs. In our walks, we often see people absolutely on fire in everything, doing anything asked, and just absolute on the work that the church does. Just as often, though, we see those people and ourselves burn out. Very bright, but truly short. In the same way, we need to follow God's example. In Genesis 2:2, by the seventh day, God had finished his work. He being done doing so, on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God did not need to rest. He did not need a break. He did this as an example to us. Our rest days should not be like our rest days and our off days from work. Instead, they should be filled with reflection and prayer and study. In the new covenant, we are not required to keep the Sabbath, but we still need a day to recenter and work on those things that we concentrate on our inward faith. Matthew 28:30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This yoke he talks about is not made from eggs. It is a yoke, a tool. It means pulling carts. It means plowing fields. It means hard labor. The yoke was typical of the oxen, a working animal. But Jesus says that it is his tool for teaching. In the work we do for the Lord, we are taught and we are refilled. The troubles of this world are heavy. They drag us down. They wear at us. But the burden on us of faith and action is easy to bear. Because we find that true rest and peace come in the Lord. Isaiah 40:30-31. Even youths grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. With our faith and our hope in the Lord, we can find that solace. Even when we stumble or even fall completely, we can be picked up and righted by our Lord that gives us rest. The work we do is required. The work we do is good, and in some cases, it is excellent. However, it is not enough. In Ephesians 5:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by works, so that one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do works which God prepared in advance for us to do. As much as we want it to be so, it is not enough just to have good works. We can be the best people on this planet, and it is not enough. The only thing that saves us is grace, and it is by grace that we are saved and nothing else. Titus 3:4-7, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things he had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Let us now go back and think of the workers in the vineyard. Despite all of us working separate times, different tasks, different jobs, different shifts, we all earn the same undeserved compensation. from a very generous master. Eternal life with our Savior. If you are already a Christian, my challenge for you is to continue in your good works that you already do and find rest and renewal that come from them. If you are not, Jim will have an invitation and we can take your confession of faith, your repentance from sin, and baptize you in Christ Jesus today. The water's ready.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.